Good morning. Welcome to Morning Java, brought to you as always by our friends at the Get Go Cafe and Market, where this is the month that the Pilgrim is back. Can you picture what is on the Pilgrim sandwich, Mr. Foster?
I hear turkey, probably dressing, cranberry sauce.
Yep.
And if you're feeling froggy, gravy?
Yep.
Okay. I've seen the pictures before.
It's a pretty impressive sandwich. It's even better to eat, believe it, than to describe. It's Steelers versus Browns this weekend. 4-0 versus 4-1. Both teams have won 4 in a row, if you want to get down to the technicalities and who comes in with any kind of momentum or whatever. Let's start this week with your pick for the game and why.
I got Pittsburgh because of the defense. I think Ben is on a little bit of a, not a revenge tour, but a little bit, hey, I'm still here. You guys got to deal with me. And I like that. And watching the amount of tools that that offense has, that's starting to come along a little bit more now, I think you got to be excited about that if you're a fan of it. And you realize it also simply because, one, he is a franchise quarterback. He is a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback. And given that, you know, he's from the state of Ohio, I like the edginess a little bit of Ben.
What's your score?
My score? I think this is going to be a high-scoring game, simply because Baker and the guys that they got to be able to create on that offense, I go 34-24, Steelers.
See, I'm ducking. I'm
You're ducking, really?
I'm holding off as much as I can because – there's a couple of things. Let me tell you one thing that concerns me from the Steelers' perspective.
Okay.
One thing I always liked in a weird way, when you guys would lose bad early on, and you know what I'm talking about, or you'd have some just lousy game, including, like, let's say, for example, a tie in Cleveland, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, but right?
Yeah.
And then I remember you in Cleveland saying to me, hey, we actually played – I remember this like yesterday, actually. It's weird. But you said to me, you go, look, we actually played okay, and there's things that we can learn from this. And I'm thinking, Ramon, man, they're setting the city on fire back home. What are you talking about? But you ended up being right because you did learn from things because things were exposed. And this Steelers team, even though they've been in some close games – hasn't faced an opponent that presents as many challenges as this one. And this feels like that first, you know what I'm talking about?
No, I'm going to have to disagree with you on that. Simply because they saw that last week with Philly. Philly was a team that presented some problems. The same things, the same issues that Philly presents, I still think the same issues that Cleveland present. A D-line that's relentless. Same thing that Cleveland has. Tools on offense that they're able to create. We saw a receiver last weekend that was making plays against this this Steelers defense. It was like, who is this guy? Where is he on the fantasy list? Like
Travis Fulgham, in case anybody's already forgotten his name.
Exactly. A quarterback catches. That's mobile like Wentz. A quarterback that's mobile like Wentz. Like, there's a lot of – yeah, they have a little bit more, I guess, in the receiver department and the tight end. But I trust the linebackers on this team. I trust Coach Tomlin, Coach Butts. Being able to scheme up a defense is able to at least take one or two of those guys away. If you're able to do that, keep Baker from rolling out because that's where he likes to make his hay at. Okay, he's good dropping back, but you know, like I know, when he's running outside the pocket, throwing on the sideline, that's what you got to stop. The guy that I think is you got to control more than anything is Landry, Jarvis Landry. He's a guy that always seems to keep the chains moving. If you watch
him,
third down guy. If they're able to get to him on third down, that's going to be huge, man. And just honestly, I don't like the O-line as much of Cleveland as I do Pittsburgh's too. Of course, I'm a homer, but I just say that up the middle, Cam and Tuitt and Tyson and Bugs, like, all across the board, these guys are wrecking shop up the middle, which is causing the chaos of quarterbacks running outside the pocket. It looks to me also that they're getting their rush assignments. You see Cam go out, Bud come in, and TJ sweeping across the middle, being able to clean up the sacks. Or when a quarterback is flush, he's able to tackle the same way he did in their early sack against Carson Wentz. Like, they're getting their rush responsibility. That's one of the things that's kind of being – one of those snake-bitten things for the Steelers defensive front in years past. Like, you can get to the quarterback, but guys aren't closing out on those sacks because you leave a running lane for a quarterback to get a silly first down. They're now, I think, able to capitalize on those type of plays, man. I like this front right here.
Well, the other variable in this, and we won't know this until Sunday at 1:02 p.m., but the Browns are banged up.
Not my problem.
Exactly. But I'm just saying, Baker Mayfield's barely been able to get on the field with his rib injury. If there's one team I'm not eager to face out of the 32 in the NFL with a rib injury, it would be Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You're going to have TJ and Bud both just – not just them either.
Headaches.
But, you know, OBJ was sent home from practice because he's ill. They're still checking on whether or not he's got – who knows what. Jarvis Landry's been banged up. They're obviously going to be without Nick Chubb. Yeah, it's just – it's they're not coming in at full strength. Let's put it that way.
Well, I'll say this too. Being that Kareem Hunt came out earlier and was like, this is for Miles. You see where their mentality is. They want to be able to try to pound this team. Yeah, at least his. They want to be able to pound this team in a run. And I think Pittsburgh is pretty solid against the run. Bennett, they're one of the top teams in the league. Mm-hmm. What they got to be able to do is capitalize on the special teams department, and they also got to be capitalized in the turnover department. Cleveland's not bad. With all those guys that are out, they're a good team. Heck, they should be with all the first-rounders they've gotten. Mm-hmm. But I pick Pittsburgh as being the better team and the better team to win. Coach Tomlin knows what's at stake. This North race has just been infiltrated by the Browns. So – winning against them, we used to look at those injury reports and be like, yeah, whatever. We'll see you on Sunday. So you turn into a different person on Sunday. And Baker, as much as he can, until you knock him out of the game, whether by his ribs, he's not able to throw, whatever the case may be, he's going to play this game and he's going to come out jacked up.
The Myles Garrett drama doesn't interest me anymore. It's old news. Here's what does interest me about Myles Garrett. He can line up anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, he presents a challenge not just for Alejandro Villanueva, not just for Chukwuma Okorafor if he's coming on the other. He presents a challenge for everybody. What do you do as an offensive lineman to account for someone who not only – it's not just that he gets repositioned. It's that he actually knows what he's doing from every different point of attack. You know what I mean? Some guys that are just really, really good at one spot, but they move him around just for show. He's not for show. He actually knows what he's doing.
There's a plan for what he's doing. And the dynamic thing about him is, yes, he's a defensive end, but he's also heavy enough to be able to take on guards.
Right up the middle. Yep.
Yeah, right up the middle. And that's the thing that we got to look forward to in this game is he'll trick you with his ability to say, yes, I'm big. But in the same point, he can bend a corner like none other. And the thing about him rushing in the middle, which is very strategic, is it's a quicker lane to the quarterback. So the guys playing this, we can't go for the okey-doke. They cannot go for the in-out or the out-in because he's going to be right there. The guy's range is long as ever, man. They're smart. They're doing the same thing that Houston did with JJ. They're doing the same thing now that Pittsburgh's doing with TJ and Bud. And we even see Cam floating around. You're putting guys there for a reason. And the thing about him is he is efficient right there. I think our guys in the middle can handle it. I know Dave's out this week also. So with him, the young guy, Dotson, he's got his hands full because if anything, if I'm a seasoned veteran guy, number one overall pick, $100 million defensive end, I'm going to probably pick the rookie. On him.
Yeah.
give me him and let's see what I can do. He's going to attack him until he doesn't win. But on the other side of it, you got Sheldon Richardson. He is he comes at you all the time. That's what he does. And so that interior does have his hands full. I think Pouncey's gonna be able to handle his own because he knows these guys. But being that Matt's new on the inside, the film study and just the detail of just blocking him this week, Myles Garrett, that is. You stop him, you got a really good chance of winning because they're relying on his pressure and his ability to move Ben off his point.
Well, now Ben didn't exactly let out a state secret on Wednesday when he said we're going to be paying extra attention to him. That's not someone in Cleveland's going, whoa, they might double Miles. Wow, we better adjust now. Yeah, it's everybody. However, and I'm reminded of when the gimmick blocking scheme basically was put in place for Aaron Donald. But it worked.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's as much as you can contain AD.
Yeah.
And here's the question that I have, though. You mentioned Sheldon Richardson. If you double Myles Garrett and you somehow neutralize him, can they hurt you other ways?
The secondary.
You see
has
what
a
I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. No. I know what you're saying. That's what they're relying on is him. This guy's got 6 sacks already. Okay.
Yeah.
He and Aaron Donald are basically in a 2-man race. I hope TJ moves up there right now. But as far as number goes, they're in a 2-man race for defensive player of the year. The only knock is that right now they got more sacks than TJ. But if you neutralize him, you don't want to drop the ball somewhere else. Like I said, you got Sheldon Williams. The secondary is good, but I think they're banged up for the most part this week. If you're able to neutralize him, run the ball, continue to move in the chains, I said 34 points because I think they can run it up. The problem with Pittsburgh is this. Cleveland's got to decide on who they're going to get as far as receiver-wise. You got Ebron, who's doing this thing. Chase Claypool is a rookie, is offensive player of the week, AFC offensive player of the week. Juju's still out there. You got James. You got Anthony McFarland. You got all these guys. The real question is, who is Cleveland going to try to neutralize this week? Their best bet is to get Myles Garrett. And if Myles Garrett is double-teamed and chipped and everything you can throw at him this week, like, I think the rest of the guys on the line, I know the rest of the guys on this offensive line will handle their business.
Great stat, advanced stat. Ben Roethlisberger has been moving the ball out of his hand faster than any quarterback. And did you? Faster than any quarterback in the NFL. We don't think of Ben that way. We think of Tom Brady that way, you know, because Brady just does the one-step drop and pew, it's gone. And you're pass rushing and you're going, why am I even here?
It is. It's smart, Ben, man. He's found a way to evolve more.
But then why would Myles Garrett, unless Ben loses his mind on a couple of plays, which, you know, there's some precedent for that, and holds on to the ball forever and makes like or moves up into the pocket, which is even worse. If that doesn't happen, then why should Myles Garrett even have an impact in this game?
Because when you talk about defensive guys, defensive players, they're numbers guys, they're stat guys. If they can just get to them one time, that's all you need. So he's going to be on until he doesn't have to. If he gets one sack, hey, cool. Maybe he'll shut it down a little bit. But I just don't see it coming this game. It's the same guy that put Ben's face through a paper shredder. You know, like, he's going to be amped up and ready to go. Ben and Coach Randy and everybody else who's involved in this offense, they know what they have to do to be successful. Ben has to be on the field. Ben has to get rid of the ball. The guys that Ben is throwing to have to catch those balls that Ben is throwing. So, because guess what? I'm not going to waste my arm and coming back from this injury just to have you drop balls. And those guys have been very, very efficient.
I forgot about the paper shredder. How do you remember stuff like that?
They talk about us with CT,
football
players.
Paper shredder.
Hey, see what I'm saying? Like, hey, we're very vast in this thing.
Oh, jeez. Before we get to the third segment, I have to share with the world, for anybody who hasn't seen it, your spectacular tweet this week of the stiff arm. First of all, I don't even know, what is the original play? What is that? Do you know?
No. Which stiff arm?
Oh, the one where you're going downfield and you're looking right.
No, I photoshopped it. That's actually Shy Tuttle, man. He's a UT player. He's actually on the Saints right now. And he was stiff arm Matt Ryan.
Did you see Derrick Henry stiff arm?
Man, where is Josh Norman at?
How do you survive that?
Man, how? You know what? I'll say this. Seeing Josh Norman go through this as an older guy is one of the reasons why I was ready to walk away.
He goes back to his sideline. Like, everyone just saw the highlight, but if you watched the full play, you saw it. He goes back to his sideline. He's getting consoled by his teammates. Like, they're patting him on his shoulder, like, man, we're with you. like there was a death in the family.
It was. We've been, of course,
and there was. It was. It was his career was being flung forward on a play that didn't even end up counting because there were offsetting penalties.
Yeah, man, we have been running that one because I covered the Titans down. The best thing I can say is, y'all want to see a dead body? That is so. I never want to get caught less than ready. Okay, and everybody gets got, DK.
Oh yeah,
but like that.
Like that. I mean, that made Vance's look like a friendly shove. The one in Tampa?
Yeah, I remember he threw that guy on the sideline and then his feet was kicking in the air. DK.
He was in the air. He was helicoptering through the air. He did like a semicircle before landing on the pad.
What's crazy is somebody had a steel shot of Derrick Henry's face in his face mask, okay? And his eyes looked like
his eyes are this. Like this. Yeah.
And then his face was like, oh, you're really going to – and oh, my God.
You know the best thing in those shots, though, even better than the actual motion, always the sideline. It's always the sideline. Yeah. In Vance's stiff arm in Tampa, you'll remember Cam is on the sideline. And Cam, yeah, that's it. That's the face. Cam's running down the sideline with him, going,
yeah. Or are you? You know what's another one? Was the Kansas City game when AB caught it on the sideline, and Cam is over there again, and I got my hands up like,
So the Tennessee sideline was like just spectacular, in the background, just going. You know, it one of those memes, you know, like somebody just crushed somebody in a diss or whatever. It's fantastic. Anyway, go ahead.
What's the next move for Josh Norman?
Oh, I don't know. I can't. I mean, you got to keep competing, you know? You just do. You got to keep competing. Yeah. Actually, if you really want to get right down to it, the play didn't count. Never happened.
But it did.
Never happened. Not in the stats, not in the book. There's just a parenthesis after it, offsetting penalties. I have to ask you before we go today about holding.
Yeah.
Now, I know offensive linemen never hold.
Never. Absolutely. Never. I'm glad you said that.
However, on those occasions when they do, let's face it, man, the NFL is just letting it go. I mean, there's, you know, what made me think of that is not so much just TJ, who's getting just, I mean, this is he's getting roped and tackled at this point.
Yes, he is.
I was searching for pictures of Myles Garrett from the Indianapolis game last week, just so that we could use for photographs. Ramon, every other play, I mean, it's not, I mean, he's got arms around his neck coming in. And there's no way that this league can go from whatever there. If you had six, seven holding penalties a game in 2019, you weren't surprised by it. Now you're stunned when you hear one.
Yeah.
I mean, did everybody just get the memo?
More than anything, it might be body positioning. That's hey, maybe the ref's in a bad spot. Last year was a lot of holding calls, you know, and just what was going on. I think this year it's like, okay, well, let the guys play ball. I guess they're treating it like, hey, it's like NBA playoff basketball. Like, okay, that was a foul in the regular season, not right now. Guess what? Chuck it up and roll with it. I'm not a guy to complain about less holding calls, so that's something I'm not going to complain about. But in the same sense, D linemen get all the time. We never hear about that holding call. So, hey, guess what? Hey, Pot, meet Kettle. You guys in the same bunch together. I have no rhyme or reason for why it's less. It's just I know in years past it has been stop delaying the games. We want to watch the game. Stop calling so many penalties. And this is what you get, though.
Well, the other aspect, I mean, and it's not like there's no precedent for this, is that the NFL just says, look, we're putting $20, $30, $35, $40 million into our quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That's life. I mean, here's another way that we can protect the quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. It is, man, and we know it's an offensive league for the most part, and the guys that are going to get those sacks are going to get them. TJ's in that group of guys getting them. Cam's in that group. Aaron Donald. I mean, Myles Garrett, like, they're going to get him. It's the fact of, man, you shouldn't have complained too much last year. Like, that's just where it is. You guys want a ball, we're not going to slow it down. If you look at the timing of the games, man, they seem to be breezing by.
Yeah, they're quicker.
Way quicker. So I have no complaints on it, considering I got to get up super early in the morning. But it's just – it'll be a case
plus
study
you never,
after the
you
season.
Never held. You never held once on a play.
I mean, you sarcastically, absolutely not. Like, the worst one, I think I went, was it 2015 or 16? No holding penalties? Like, or
no
maybe
holding
just,
penalties.
I think I might have had one penalty on the year. So, yeah, I was a clean player. I wasn't trying to negate my offense, and I'm just glad the refs not allowing offensive linemen to negate their offense.
See, that's – but here, and being serious about holding, though, you know, there's the old – you know, the old coaches thing forever and ever that there's holding on every play at every level of football. There's holding that's committed. That sounds a little extreme to me, but at the same time, it also sounds at least a little bit plausible. If you're the blocker, what makes you think that you can get away with it? Like, how do you, what do you do that's hide? Which ref are you worried about? Which guy do you think has eyes on you that you think you can get away with it?
The one I can get away with is the one that's behind the linebackers. He's the one that you can get away with it. That tug towards the end is slanted towards the defense. The guy behind the umpire, behind
I know who you're talking about. Yep.
They usually are the ones that call it because the defensive lineman is either acting erratic or he's in the umpire's face. So those are the ones you got to get. The holding on every play thing is true. Like, there's an art to it behind everything you're doing. Like, if I got you in your chest plate, like, you're not going anywhere.
You're not
That's
going
the way
anywhere.
It goes. And
now
if
you've
you're
locked
moving,
on.
Exactly. I've locked on, and they'll laugh and they'll joke about it. Like, well, that was a good block. You end up losing those battles when a guy catches your edge. And if you look at on the other side of it too, we focus on offensive linemen. DBs are huge holders.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, that's getting called. Yeah. That's different. Yeah.
Exactly.
They want passing. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's an art to it, man, as far as what's good and what's not good. But it's part of the game. Guess what? If I've heard defensive linemen coaches, so what? Get off. Like, that's my mentality towards it, too. So what? Break a loose.
Yeah, it's a bigger part of the game this year than it was last year.
Moan, now it's a problem.
We will talk next week.
We will, man. This is always fun.